I didn't hear that earlier.
Ah!
That just all go in your ear?
It hurts! Mm-hmm.
That's what it did to me earlier.
Oh, shoot, the time's up! Ha ha ha!
Hi. Can they hear me?
Yes.
Are they getting blasted with music?
I don't think so.
I hope you're not.
Oh! I think I'm deaf.
Are you okay? Did you figure out what you need to figure out?
Yeah, we barely... I don't know. I hear myself and I hear the music. Is that what you hear?
Yes.
You hear the background music and yourself?
I don't hear music. I don't hear any music. I hope you're not getting blasted with music. That's what just happened to Colby's eardrum and happened to me earlier.
No, it's... all right, I'm switching to that, hoping...
Hi.
I guess...
We're back. Technical difficulties. Remember these?
We took one month off. I'll tell you what. I'll just send the sound effects to my ear... And you'll just go without all the background music.
I'll go without all of the background music.
It's what you've always wanted. It's what you've always wanted. And I'll solve that problem
next
week.
Maybe I caused all of this to happen. So I don't have to hear all that.
Welcome to the Kate and Colby Show,
where we talk about things that matter,
practice the art of coming more alive,
and reflect on just how strange and wonderful life can be.
We're glad you're here. What up, Pod Fam? Guess what is back in your feed? That's right. It's our live show episodes. Yeah! If you might recall, we did take the month of June off. And then, you know, we kicked off a whole new round of amazing guests starting in the beginning of July. But, you know, it's not the beginning of July anymore. As you can tell, I'm a few weeks behind on editing the podcast, which is why our July 7 episode is just now dropping in your phones like a credit score after missing your Visa payment. Wait, no, that's a bad thing. That's a bad thing. Dropping an episode's a good thing. Dropping credit, whatever. I don't often run these metaphors by my brain before I say them. Speaking of this episode, this was a ton of fun, y'all. Kate and I invited our dear friend, Matthew Lovegood, whom, by the way, we had the pleasure of marrying shortly before the world shut down, to join us on the show, but not as Matthew. Instead, as his polygendered TikTok preaching drag queen persona, Flamey Grant. You see, Flamey posted a video to TikTok a few months back. In fact, you'll hear the audio of that video later on in the episode, and you can check out the description for the link to the video itself. And that video has gone on to be viewed almost a million times. It's amazing. It's incredible how it has struck a chord with people who know the pain, the particular pain of having religion trap you and shame. But that's not why we had Flamey on the show. As good as the video was, the reason we invited her is because Flamey teaches all of us what it means to push against culture's flimsy and often arbitrary definitions of male and female, masculine and feminine, a topic that, if you've been around the Kate and Colby Show for long, you know that we dig. So we hope you enjoy the show and check out Flamey Grant on Instagram and Tickety Talk. Tickety Talk. Who says tickety talk? Why did I say that? Speaking of enjoying the show, if that's something you do from time to time, perhaps you'd consider showing support for the show by visiting buymeacoffee.com/Kate and Colby. That's all one word, Kate, A-N-D, Colby. While there, you can buy us a coffee or three. They're like $5 each. Or you can sign up to be a monthly supporter of the show, as some of you have done. Thank you. More and more, we realize that we couldn't do this show emotionally without you, our Pod Fam, nor could we afford to do it economically without the support of our baristas. So thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, let's get to the show. Love you. Welcome to the Kate and Colby Show.
You know,
it's been a hot minute. I don't know if you can tell. We haven't been here, and I feel like it's showing.
It's showing, but that's okay. But it's also showing in our excitement.
Yeah.
Our fervor.
Yeah.
Our joy.
Soup sexy.
I'm very happy to be here. I've missed being on the internet.
All right.
Right now, my girl Karen is going, you what? You missed being on the internet?
We did. But we do. We miss you. Okay. Should we get on with the show?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to now take a minute.
We lived through that.
This is what I was trying to do. I was trying to share this on my Facebooks, and then all of a sudden the music showed up in just my ear, not yours, and it was very aggressive.
Hi, Julie.
And I haven't had a chance to share. So why don't you entertain the people? And I'm just going to share this really quick.
Okay, the people know that I hate when you do that.
Okay, I'll do something different. I'll sit here in silence.
How often do we? What?
That's something different. I'm choosing something entirely different. Does that count?
What's he talking about? I have no idea, but we're here.
So
we made it. It's
excited
been a month.
To be back.
A lot of... You're not sitting in silence. Oh. You're narrating your life. Okay.
I gave a whole plan of action, and then I already abandoned it.
It's been a whole month since we've been on this sweet, sweet live show of ours, and I gotta tell you that it's weird coming back because a lot happened since the last time we were here. The California opened back up. And how are we phrasing this? Because the pandemic didn't end. How are we talking about it? Does anybody have a good phrase for this weird ass phase that we are in life? Re-entering society a little bit? Like, there's no... Do you have a good phrase, Flamie? What the hell are we calling this stage of our life? Am I supposed to pretend you're not here yet? Colby would be mortified that I'm not. I don't know what we're doing right now is what I'm trying to say. Do y'all know what we're doing? Do y'all know what we're doing in life? But anyway, the point is that I'm like, are people even still doing online things? Are we still virtually hanging out? Because everybody can just hang out in person again. So are we still doing this whole, like we started our show partly because y'all were just on the internet, not going out and doing live. Now y'all are doing life. Are you still sharing?
You know, I have two accounts to share from. I have
stretched out this weird monologue of what the hell is life right now.
I didn't think it was weird at all. I think you underestimate yourself.
Way too
long. On your ability to carry the show at a moment's notice.
Every episode he does this, he says, you entertain the people while I do something. Supposed to do just staring at a camera talking.
Listen. If you teach a woman
monologues
to fish,
are not my thing. Monologues are your thing, so I should do that to you. You would love monologuing.
Teaching you to fish.
Anyway, how are you? How you been?
Hi, I'm good. Cheers. Welcome back to the show.
What are you drinking? It's pretty.
This is Reposado tequila from Tremana.
Of course it is. You love that.
My friend Kyle said it's the next what's my favorite? The George Clooney. Casamigos. He says the next Casamigos. Kyle, I love you. I don't think I agree. It's good, but I don't like it as much as Casamigos. But anyway.
Julie said, working in healthcare, nothing's really changed except that people seem more agitated. Right? Reemerging is a good word.
Yeah. Reemerging? I like that, Ben and I.
Thank you, Ben and I.
We've got a Minneapolisan who's happy to still be virtual.
Sweet. Yeah, like some of us are just hanging out at home on a Wednesday night regardless. Right?
Yeah.
I'm not going anywhere on a Wednesday night, so I'll still be here in my garage. And whatever y'all are doing in your weird-ass re-emerging life, come hang out or not.
Whatever you're doing in your war?
Weird-ass re-emerging life.
Your war life?
Yep.
Kind of fits.
I like it.
We've got a couple things we'd like to do before we get to our guest for tonight. And the first...
We do.
Yeah, as a viewer check-in.
I don't have anything to do bass playing with. So.
Which is sad because normally you play the bass really well. But here's a question for tonight.
My bass is always up here.
What is a skill that you either acquired or improved during quarantine?
You always are so good at this.
Thank you, baby.
Not only do you provide beautiful questions that get us like connecting and talking about stuff, but you always masterfully connect it to the guests that we have.
Thanks for noticing.
Lovely.
I mean,
this one's loosely connected, but I love that.
Yeah. Anyway. So reflect back on the last 16, 18 months or whatevs. Is there something that you learned how to do? Is there something that you kind of vaguely knew how to do, but then leveled up a bit as a result of maybe being home a bit more?
John Warwick says, hey, Colby, long time no
see. What's up, John? Glad you're here. Thanks for joining us. Orchestrating music. That's fun.
Wow. Melanie says, using Zoom. Yeah.
Using Zoom. Paul says the same thing. Using Zoom, learning how to do the Zooms. What else? I know a lot of people.
Acquired and improved?
Or improved. Just, yeah.
I always take a slash as and, but you're right. It's really more like whatever.
I think it could be. Anyway.
I did not acquire any skills during quarantine. Well, that's not true.
I actually disagree.
I went to a whole school and got a certification in something. Never mind. I acquired a skill.
It's been a long year and a half. That was within this quarantine time.
I don't know. I became a death doula during quarantine. I definitely improved my gardening plant caretaking.
Don't mind me. I'm just going to bring this mic down a bit.
Colby acquired the skill of whatever this magic is.
Yeah.
It's happening.
That's my answer.
Acquired and improved.
Acquired improved. Video and light skills and live streaming skills, which has proved very valuable.
Oh, Melissa valuable says or invaluable? Protesting.
What's the difference?
What?
What's the difference between valuable or invaluable?
There's not I mean, it's just that invaluable is like so valuable that it's like, you can't put a value. The in part is you can't put a value on it because it's so valuable that you can't put a value on it. That's what invaluable means.
So just soup's valuable.
Of course you're skeptical of that word.
Yeah, that's fine. Protesting. Prioritizing self-care. Oh, I like that. Took a few breakdowns to
Shane,
get here.
What are you better at? I missed your first comment.
Talking to people. Sorry, talking to people. I've been able to open up and be much more vulnerable. Shane. That's freaking amazing.
And especially during quarantine, freaking pandemic.
So proud of you.
To be the skill that you work on. Gracious.
So that's fantastic.
Yeah, that's amazing, Shane. I love that.
Karen, cover songs. Yeah, you think?
Sweet heathens.
You improved that.
Y'all can do lots of them. Sure. Are you the new Shout House? Oh, I miss Shout House so much.
Yeah. Do you know if they're open yet?
They're not. Amber and I were just texting about that. She texted me because a classic Shout House song was playing in the car and it made her weepy. So she texted me about it and I said, when do we go? And she's like, they're still shut down. That will be my big cry.
Once you're back there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for letting us know what your quarantine skill was that you acquired and or improved upon. Oops. Just transition your head.
Oh.
It's supposed to be like a full screen, but it was just goodbye you, hello you. That was fun. We've been off the air for a month, so we thought let's do a consumer report to talk about the things that we
watched.
Okay, but
first I have to address Anissa's question.
Okay.
I am not, but it looks like I am. That's all I'm going to address it.
Cool.
You have to figure out the rest. No, I'm just kidding. It's just my shirt.
I'm also not wearing one. This is a Henley.
Thanks, girl. She loves it.
Because I love it. Hi, Jesse. Resin art and aquarium keeping.
Gracious. That's y'all fun. Are too talented for me. I'm just like sitting with dead people and watering some plants every now and then.
Oh. Y'all just watering some plants every now and then. Get out of here.
Oh,
you're so skilled with the plants.
I'll show everybody a picture, but.
You load that up work? While we go into Consumer Report. All right, Consumer Report. This is just a share bit of what we've been either watching and or hearing and or reading. And we've been apart from a month. So I guess this is also like a little bit of a check-in with you. What have you, during the month of June's, what was your favorite? What was your favorite watch? What was your favorite read? Did you have a favorite listen to? That could be music. That could be podcast.
I'm in a very happy television place in my life right now.
Sure.
Well, you and I watched Hacks, and I'm convinced it's the best
H-A-C-K-S,
TV show
as in
it's ever existed.
Comics that aren't good and do cheap jokies. That's what their word title is.
So good.
It's amazing. You have to have HBO Max.
It's dark comedy, and it's my favorite thing.
It's about a 60-plus-year-old female comic who's had a long-standing career, and then specifically a long-standing What?
I'm just laughing at how you're giving the little trailer to the show.
It seems to me like you have to give a little bit of the pitch. You, mm-hmm. People might just trust you enough to be like, Kate said watch Hacks, therefore I should watch it.
I agree. I'm contrasting it because I was about to say Hacks is all of my bisexual woman dreams come true. That was my way of describing the show. And then you're like,
True. Full honesty, I had this small anxiety that you weren't going to say anything more about Hacks.
Oh,
and yes, so I jumped in.
Which is why I was laughing, because I could feel your anxiety. Kate, you can't do that to the people.
So
anyway, you got to go watch Hacks. I don't like saying much about shows because I like people to just go watch them.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's one of my favorite shows.
So
the people already love it. Look at that. Agreed. Oh, love nice. Hacks. Yeah.
James Sheamus is all about it. Julie's all about it.
What are you watching, Jesse? The show Love, Hacks Victor, the spinoff to the movie/book Love, Simon. Oh,
that's cool. I didn't know they did a...
I loved that movie. I didn't realize it was a book. And now we've got Love, Victor. That's great. And then I just watched... I've only seen one episode of it so far. But Annie Murphy is my girl, so I was going to watch whatever she's on now. And then it is fucking brilliant. Kevin can go fuck himself. Are we even saying the fuck, though? I think it's just F himself. How are they doing that? I don't know. It's a funny title of a show.
Kevin can F star star star.
Star 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 himself. Mm. But are you supposed to say Kevin can F star 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 himself every time you talk about the show?
I can't imagine that. I think it's just...
Are you supposed to just say Kevin can F himself?
F himself is what I would imagine.
Okay, I just said fuck like 20 times in one sitting. So
note to self, explicit tag for podcast. Okay.
Oh, Paul just said my favorite watch has been Sojo on Sundays with my church, plus the Kate and Clem show and HHH.
Shout out to you.
We've been busy. As I'm throwing out the F word.
So you have tried that out?
One episode, and that show I will not say a word about because you have to go into it not knowing anything about it.
I feel bad that I know something about it.
Oh, you do?
I read a bad review on it. From my Entertainment Weekly magazine.
Don't listen to them. I mean, maybe it sucks. I don't know. I've watched one episode, but I felt that it was bloody brilliant. Yeah. What they're doing, the premise is brilliant. That's all. No one says the stars.
No one in F star 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 himself.
Oh. Yeah. Why would someone ever do that? Why would a person do that?
A lot during June. I watched a lot of NBA playoffs. Luka was fun.
You watched sports ball.
I watched a lot of basketball. So that's exciting. That's my favorite time of the year. What else? We went back and watched episode one of Freaks and Geeks. It's one of the shows that we're like, we obviously missed that boat.
We missed it somehow. Decades ago. I don't know why we missed that show.
But it stands as a cult classic that we thought we should check out. We've been going through West Wing. We've been going through Brooklyn Nine-Nine for the multiple times. But what's a new thing that I feel like there's, well, maybe it was just Hacks. Oh, Mayor of Easttown. We also watched during the Junes.
Everybody loved Mayor of Easttown. We have nothing wise to add about that. Just brilliant show. Luca, though, we watched with our family and I was absolutely obsessed with that movie. I love what they did with male presenting characters, the friendship and the emotion expressed. Seeing a male character express raging jealousy and they just cry at everything, like, openly. But my favorite part about that is that that wasn't, like, explicitly the point of the movie. It wasn't, like, talked about. It was just naturally lived out that these two male characters had this passionate, love-filled, deep connection and relationship and cried about everything and were, like, trying to figure out the meaning of life. It was, like, your normal movie with female characters, but flipped with male characters. And I just, oh my God, I just loved it. I loved Luca. So if you haven't seen Luca, watch Luca. Yeah, it's all about like self-acceptance.
For books, I read Out Love by Julie Rogers.
Oh yeah, you loved that.
Fantastic memoir of a young gal who grew up, knew she was gay from a young age, in that conservative evangelical family that as soon as she came out, then sent her to conversion therapy program in which she was in for years and sort of bought into it to the point where she's like, I still know that I'm gay, but also like, I'm going to stay in this program and not act on it or not live that quote lifestyle. And then she became connected to organizations that like travel, like Exodus International, the big one that got shut down a number of years ago, a Q conference that faux progressive conference that led by Gabe Lyons, who pretends to be progressive but really isn't. You know, she partnered with them to do that. This, like,
there's nothing worse than that.
To be the evangelical spokesperson for you can be gay, or it's okay to like have a gay as your identity, but just, you know, got to be celibate and don't actually do anything with it. So she was in that, worked at Wheaton College, and realized she was being used by the evangelical world to be this mouthpiece. And then when she finally shifted her own theology to be like, actually, no, I'm done with this. So anyway, the it's a great memoir, brutal stories, but stories that really need to be told, receipts that need to be shown, because it's just a freaking dumpster fire, that whole world of ex-gay conversion, all of that is so harmful. So anyway, that's Outlove by Julie Rogers, out now.
I want to know what I'm reading.
Yep.
I'm still reading because it's a long-ass book and I've had a lot going on, and actually I need to pick it back up, but I'm reading Talk About Being Connected to Our Guest Tonight, The Starless Sea, which Matthew talked about at church like 4 years ago. And it sounded magical when he described it, but then I just never picked it up until a couple weeks ago. It's beautiful. Fiction. Fun. Book lovers kind of book. That's all.
Love it. Some good book recommendations on here. Oh, y'all are great. Y'all are great.
Jazz, what's effing amazing?
If I'm following the conversation, I think Jazz said, loved Minor Feelings by Kathy Park Hong for books, greater for better understanding the Asian American experience. And Anissa said, damn, I want to read this book. I think it's in relation to Jazz, but it could be in relation to what I was saying because the timing was a little bit on there. So I don't know.
Well, I want
to. It's hard when we're not following it on Facebook to see what is it. Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, that's what's effing amazing?
Mm-hmm. Oh, missed. Oh, Julie said, finally got the new season of Handmaidens. The tale of the hand. The tale in the hand of the maid. Nailed that. All right. Before we get to our guest, can we do this? If you would like to support the Kate and Colby Show, which we would like you to support the Kate and Colby Show so that we can continue doing this, then we invite you to do so by going to buymeacoffee.com/Kate and Colby. You see the link there on the screen. A special shout out to Angela, who bought us some coffees over our live show break. Why? Because Angela's awesome. And because also we put out a couple Garage Session episodes, which, by the way, I've got a little excerpt. We could play a little 1 minute excerpt of the recent episode if we want. But yeah.
Is it more of me yelling?
I don't know if this one's you yelling or not. I don't entirely remember what the excerpt is. But this is our way that we can put on this show and pay for all the things and thank our guests as well. Mm-hmm. We use some of the funds that come in to send our guests thank yous. Thank you gifts for being on the show. And so if you want to thank the guests, you can thank them through us. And that way you can do one time little tips, little donations, $5 coffee or five coffees, whatever, $25. Or you can become a monthly supporter like many of you have, which means that you are our baristas for, I almost said for life, but I guess you can opt out whenever you want. But anyway, thank you to those of you who support us in this way. Best. And I won't play the whole clip.
I never know if there's a little thing happening anyway, because I always get surprised by them. But right now I don't have sound.
Oh, yeah.
So I really didn't know that little.
I won't play the whole clip, but I do want to just raise awareness to our Garage Sessions.
They're fun.
So you can't hear this, but the excerpt is happening right now. This conversation was about Kate and I's journey of shifting theologically on slightly different paths and different trajectories. And what do you do when you and your partner believe differently? So that is available now wherever you get your podcast. We invite you to check that out. Yeah?
All right. Yep.
Okay. Should we get to our special guest?
Yes, please.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen and beautiful non-binary people, we now welcome to the stage our guest for the evening.
I was a Bible Belt baby. I'm talking evangelical, be at church anytime the doors are open, Christian school, Christian music, even our movies came with all the provocative bits edited out by some intern in Dr. James Dobson's office. We had the portrait of white Jesus on the wall next to the Thomas Kincaid and the cross-stitch quote from the Book of Joshua that said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And serve him I did. I did everything I was supposed to do, and more importantly, I avoided everything I wasn't. And darling, I was miserable. You see, it was cute the first time I stepped out in my mom's heels as a kid. They laughed, I hammed it up, they made me pose for a photo. But the second that behavior started to become a pattern, you better believe I got told exactly how a boy should act. I spent 35 years avoiding the impulse to paint my face, but nobody can tell me it wasn't worth the wait. Baby, it might take you half a lifetime or more, but when you finally realize that the deepest truth of the divine is that you are meant to be happy in the here and now, well, I can't wait to see what you make of your second act.
We've got her in the his house.
Who was that genuine biological woman on screen? She was beautiful. That was amazing.
That was your doppelganger. Mm. We couldn't find any videos of you, so we got her. Hi, Flamey. Hi. Welcome to the Kate and Colby Show.
I'm here. I'm in person. This. We're live.
Our first guest in the house, in the garage.
How fun is this?
It's really fun, but now I don't know where to look.
This is true.
Are we
attention to you, okay?
Are we on the Johnny Carson show? Do we look at each other? Do we refer to the audience?
Yes.
I almost brought that little couch over here to figure out how to make it the couch on, but that was a bit much. Okay, so we are here with Flamey Grant, who has been a friend of ours for about a year?
yeah, a little over a year.
We've been friends
since I've been born.
Since you've been born. We didn't really talk about how this was going to go, because I don't think we need to, but I do want to say for any of the viewers watching, if you have, I'll put you on the spot. If you have any questions for the world of drag, can I say that?
Yeah.
Because it just happened.
The whole world of it.
If you have any drag questions, drag related questions.
Any drag related questions.
I will have an answer. Yeah. It won't be right half the time, but I will have an answer.
But you can trust Enneagram.
But I think what I'm getting at is I think sometimes in different communities, there's a rightful respect / hesitancy to maybe not ask the person to speak for the thing.
Yeah.
And I feel comfortable knowing that you would love to share more about the world of drag. So,
correct.
Okay. All right.
Correct.
If not, we can just cut it and go back and edit it.
I would love to represent all drag queens everywhere.
Okay.
From the dawn of time.
But also, I can't get past the known you for about a year. I get what you mean, but to me, and maybe I'm wrong in this, but to me, I've always known Flamey because Flamey.
Ooh, I like where this is going.
Well, yeah, because Flamey was always a part of the friend Matthew that I've had for 9.5 years now. How old Tuck? I don't know. I can't keep track of how long I've known you, but. I've known you for almost a decade, and for me, watching you this last year, the year that you're referring to, or whatever the hell it's been, oh my god, I don't know what is time, but watching you become Flamey has just been like, oh, that part of Matthew is now like a whole, you know, that's my
embodied,
that part of Matthew is now embodied. Uh-huh.
Yeah, she is. I mean, I kind of made this joke earlier when I posted about the show, but I said, Kate is basically my drag mother, because I was, you know, that's a thing. That's a thing in the drag community. Yeah, here,
can you explain that?
Answer the first question that hasn't even been asked yet.
Lady, what's a drag mother?
What's a drag mother? A drag mother is simply the person who does drag, who like takes you under their wing and teaches you the craft, teaches you the art. And
I just love that that's a thing.
It's a beautiful thing. So good. It's such a phenomenal, amazing thing. But I didn't really have that because I've done this YouTube with my drag mother,
yeah.
You know,
yeah,
for sure. Yeah. I've done this in quarantine for the most part. First time I went out and drag
you've
was...
mothered yourself. You've taught yourself how to do it.
I mean, a little bit, but as I was thinking about that, I mean, you came to mind because going all the way back to the first days of Sojourn Grace, I think about all of the lessons in mothering that I've gotten from you. Not necessarily about drag, obviously, or how to put on makeup, although... I picked up a few tips just from looking at her face. but I mean, you had me give the sermon. Was it on Mother's Day? Mm-hmm. I spoke at church on Mother's Day. I gave the Mother's Day sermon one year, and that just hit me earlier today. I was like, what is going on in the world?
We did a whole service about mothering, and then, yeah, Matthew gave the talk.
But that was only possible because of all of what you've invested in the community that you help lead. And, you know, mm-hmm. being a part of that community, I've been able to absorb a little bit of that mothering instinct that you draw out of people. That's the thing. One of the things I've learned from you is that it's there. It's not necessarily like I have to go to a class or acquire a new skill. It's like it's mothering your own self and learning that, you know, we've gendered everything. Like mothering is gendered because, you know, we believe that it's only from the female parent, and fathering is gendered because we think it's from the male parent. But right. But those things don't have to be so gendered. Yeah. We can all be mothers. And I mean, that's the beautiful phrase you have put out into the world, the many gendered mothers thing. I love it so much.
Well, yeah, I gave like a talk at Sojourn called Many Gendered Mothers, and Matthew just like took it to heart in a way that nobody else did. And it was like, kind of run with it. And actually listened to what I said and did it. Like, I was like begging our church to do this thing. Like, it was one of those talks where you're like, please, let's become this. And you made that happen. Mm-hmm. You embodied that talk and made it so that we really did become a church full of many gendered mothers.
It's a good place to be.
Can you connect some dots now between...
Sure.
Cole's like, I need a through line.
Maybe that is what it is. Well, no, it's exactly what it is. So you hear this talk and you start to awaken to maybe some dormant parts of yourself. Mm-hmm. Help us get from there to that TikTok video that we just watched, which I want to get to in a minute, but let's pause, you know, get us up to that. Mm-hmm. Where did this come from?
Well, I did suppress and turn off these instincts and these inclinations for, I mean, the bulk of my life, from probably age 5 until age whatever I was 2 years ago, which we don't have to say. 29! I'm just kidding. Chris and I are watching a lot of Nanny right now, so there's just a lot of 29 jokes.
Okay.
Because that was the thing.
She was always 29. Like, all 6 seasons, she was 29.
Can you put language to what instincts you refer to?
Yeah, the instincts to play with my gender, to step outside the boxes that had been prescribed for me in my culture, in my community, because I was a boy, yeah. You know, because I had a specific set of genitalia. So, you know, I came out in my mom's heels. I played with her makeup. I remember like joyful moments as a, you know, toddler, as a kid doing those things. And moments, too, when the rest of the family was joyful with me. Like, it was isn't this great?
As long as you were young enough, that was cute.
Exactly. Yeah. There are photos. Like, I have photos of me, you know, with my towels on my head to be a wig and in my mom's little nightgowns and things like that. And at some point, you know, I got old enough to where that had to end in the eyes of, you know, my parents and really everyone around me. So I just shut it off. I just turned it off. You can do that. Did you know? You can cut off entire parts of your emotional self for decades. And then I would say the through line is, yeah, we started talking about gender at Sojourn Grace. Because I was even as I came out and identified as queer and, you know, started dating and things like that. Early on, I was still very confused about, and this is the thing I'm ashamed of, and I've like made my public apology for on our podcast, on Heathen Podcasts. But like, I used to be the person who would say, why is the T in LGBT? I don't get it. You know, that's a different thing. That's a different thing from what I deal with.
Okay.
Like, I'm gay. I like men, sexual attraction. Like, that's what that is. You know, this has nothing to do with like how I identify as a human myself. So I was, you know, that like arrogant and ignorant person.
But strong opinion.
Oh, very strong opinion. Always.
Always.
Always. Yes. So it was never even in my mind. I had so closed off that part of my life. It was never even in my mind that there would be a possibility that I would be anything other than a cis man.
But don't you think it maybe was, not to argue with your own perspective of your life, sorry, but don't you think that we do that? I'm speaking for myself here. When I hear your story of I was like, why is the tea in whatever? We just recorded a garage session the other day talking about bisexuality, and I will have this like very anti response to it. It's because it's who I am, right? Yeah. And there's like this weird, when something means a lot to us, that's when we get extra fiery about it. Absolutely. But like there's a total disconnect in our brain of that's why we're doing it. And it seems like.
I think that's why
that was so shut down in you.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's, that's why the politicians who get caught, you know, with someone of the same sex, you know, hiring a sex worker, they're the ones who are the loudest, you know, being anti,
the most anti-gay,
being homophobic, all of that. Yeah. So that was totally a thing in me. It was, you know, not aware of my own, just didn't know my own gender, but I was so sure that it had to be one way. So I would, you know, I was just shut off to all of that.
And being gay, that was probably important too, because how would you still identify as gay? Like those questions were probably just sitting there beneath the surface somewhere. Like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Your gender switches, how does your orientation fit in that?
And because the fear is just, there's so much fear built into all of that. Like, I'm not afraid of that stuff now. Like I don't even need an answer for it now. You know, I am who I am. I love who I love.
Yep.
I present how I present. It all belongs. Yep. Absolutely. But back then there was so much pressure, even navigating the coming out process and being out in the world, pressure from the queer community to like, how do you identify? What's your label? You know, where do you fit in this rainbow?
Yeah.
And, there was fear around being like, I'm gay, but also I have gender questions. Like,
did the process of kind of softening to the gender questions or whatever we're calling it, did that feel like a long kind of fluid roller coaster-y process, or was there like a moment when it just switched for you of like, oh, right?
I would say that seeing myself in drag did a lot. Like, that moved me a lot in ways that, you know, maybe it had been very incremental up to that point, but then like once I decided to try it out and look at myself in the mirror, that was like, I shouldn't be so scared of this.
What was the first time you dressed in drag? What inspired that? Like, what made that
happen? So this was the through line piece, is that, you know, we were having these discussions around many gendered mothers and just what is gender in general in our church at Sojo. And, I'd been so closed off to the idea of it that I had even refused to, like, I'm not going to watch Drag Race. I'm not going to watch RuPaul's Drag Race. Okay. Despite the fact that I had, you know, grown into this like cultural phenomenon, especially as a queer person, like so many references that I just never got.
And you hadn't seen it. You didn't know.
Yeah. I was like, I do not know.
I don't think I realized that.
You'd see the gifs of queens doing funny things just everywhere. And it'd just be like, I don't know what it is. So it was finally just being like, I didn't even watch it because I was intrigued by the art necessarily. I just watched it because I was like, I'm gay, I need to know this stuff.
I need to watch this.
I'm queer, I need to know what's up in my community. But I was hooked from that
immediately
first season. I was just like, oh my gosh, the craftspersonship, the work that goes into it, the learning, the skill, like, and it's one of my favorite things because it encompasses so many of my favorite things. Like, you can, as a drag queen, you can do all kinds of things, but obviously I like to sing. So you can do that in drag, and you can, and then just like the performance of turning yourself into somebody else. Like, I love it. Turns out, you know, I didn't know I loved it so much. Remember when I asked you, I was like, Kate, I need help, like, figuring out what my style is, because I don't know how to dress.
Yep.
Like, turns out I don't care that much how I dress when I'm a boy. I just, like,
it was
this
part of that journey.
Yeah.
It was that question wasn't really about that. It wasn't really about style. It was you on that journey of gender exploration.
You were searching for something other than just the right shirt and pair of jeans.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. And you found it.
I did. And it's a lot of work.
A little more work than a shirt and pair of jeans.
Just a little bit more. Yeah.
Okay, I have a drag question then. Okay. I don't know if there's any on the screen yet. Mine's just logistical. Like, how long does this take? I mean, I know it depends on which one.
It depends on what you're doing. It depends on if you're putting on the full body, which I did not tonight because I didn't know we were going to be seeing quite this much of my full figure here. But that's okay.
Turns out the camera needs the backup, and we have studio guests. So.
If I'm doing like the full thing with the pads and like trying to put on heels and the 8 layers of tights. I mean,
8 layers of
how exaggerative is that?
No, that's 8. It's 8.
Wait.
I'm not exaggerating. What? I wear 8 pairs of tights.
But why?
Because
what does 8 do that 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 does?
Yeah, for sure. Because in order to smooth the lines from your hip pad to your actual leg and make it look like one leg, that's how many it takes to, for me, at least, when I put on 7 and I can still kind of see.
I get it. It's like haircutting. Like to get that blend, to get that fade,
you have to do the millimeter. Exactly. 8.
I'm over here like there's got to be some really good one that would do that for you.
One
but
type.
Obviously, you would know if there was.
I mean, there probably are better.
Is it like a 3-wing in me? I'm like, no, there has to be somewhere up front.
The best tight.
It's the best.
No, it's for like crappy pairs from like the drugstore for sure. Oh, but then there are 4 like opaque dancer's tights that I use. I don't know if anybody's watching and y'all know how to.
Does that heat you up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like that would be hot.
Yeah, you stay a little warm.
Okay. All right. No crispy.
I mean, that's just the tights layers. There's like about 5 other layers that are happening too. So
Flamie's hair almost fits in the shot, but there we go. That's a cute little. Yeah.
Boy, I shouldn't move it too quickly, should I?
All right. I want to get us to Flamie. So you have these sort of stages of awakenings or stages of revelations.
Mm.
Apocalypse might be the word. The unveiling. If you might even call it that, of a multiple gendered expression in yourself that had been repressed and laid dormant and pushed aside. And then you watch Drag Race and you're like, okay, that is really cool. Mm-hmm. Like that is, were you watching it saying that's really cool, super happy for everyone on the screen? Or was it that's really cool? Now I'm really curious and kind of want to try it myself.
Yeah.
It was more of that. So then... Was it our Halloween party? Was your first time that you're like, I'm going to try this out.
Yep.
Let's see how this goes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And Halloween's always the easy, like, safe way to explore something that's aberrant.
Which theme? Was Halloween just our theme? And what character
was it? I think it
was
just a Halloween theme.
Who did you dress up as? I forget.
Well, her name was Mahalda Dratch.
That's right. Okay, it was your witch. That was the first one.
It was a witch, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's what I couldn't picture. Yeah. I was picturing you in the Harry Potter themed party, and I knew that wasn't the first one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did it 3 Rich. Times that weekend. Mm-hmm. Actually, I went to work because we had a costume contest at work. So I showed up at work in drag, which was that was nerve wracking. I work for a theater, like it doesn't get much. It
should have been a fine place.
There aren't too many jobs.
Then the nerves are about like everybody's really good at. Performance
exactly.
And costume.
Yeah, and the costume department people always win our Halloween contest.
It's not fair.
But,
it's not a fair contest.
Hey, I came in 3rd, so...
Look at you, and that was your
first time in drag. I meddled, so, I mean...
That's awesome. When you meddled in drag for the first time...
Yeah.
No. You meddled.
It was bad, though. It was, like... I can airdrop you a picture if you want to show the people. Yeah, but that was it. That was my...
Look back at your first ones and say they were bad. I look back and was like, I could never have done that at my first time trying something. Like, never.
Well, I love it. I love looking back at it because I do see the journey.
Yeah.
You know, like I get to see the whole progression and the things.
What are the things that look bad to you? Because you see what I don't see. I just look and I'm like, you look great. But you see like any artist, you see the specific things that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Wrong or whatever.
I think it's probably like just the foundation. The foundation was bad. The colors were bad. I'm sure I didn't know like how to powder properly and things like that. And then just like the lines, the shape of my face. You know, I figured out over time how my eyes work because I have these real deep, hollow, you know, cliff-hanging eyebrows that I have to, like, flatten.
Well, and I was just going to say, you're brilliant at getting the eyebrows flattened.
Yeah.
You can't even, I'm sitting very close to you, and I can't even see your normal.
Oh, yeah, can you explain to the drag uninitiated how the drag brow
works? Yeah, that was one of the comments that happened in the video a lot, because the first thing you see, I think, in the video is me with an Elmer's glue stick, and people are like, what is happening? And just swipe it over my face. Yeah, Elmer's glue, like, that's the most common way most drag queens put their brows down, because it's the cheapest and it's pretty quick. It dries really fast.
So it's just straight glue.
It's about
glue
four or five layers of
glue on the brow. Mm-hmm. And it pushes it back.
Yeah. No, you brush. You got to really, okay. You got to really have a little fine tooth comb kind of thing. Or okay. I use a toothbrush actually and just brush
okay.
and get them flat. Yeah.
Toothbrush, and do you put anything over the top of that?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So then you powder the last application of glue, you powder. So that helps it, like, just seals it. And then I do some color correcting because my dark brow still shows through because the glue dries clear. And then I do concealer, and then I do foundation. And then I start painting in
and then the color.
The brows I want.
So
that are a little higher.
That are higher.
Yeah.
Do you know what the origin story of the brow part of drag is? Like, why did that become a thing to
raise your brows?
Yeah.
Well, I just think in general, female identifying bodies tend to have a more arched, a higher brow.
Okay.
I think mostly. I mean, looking at the two of you, that's true.
Even if I do this,
unless you walk around like that, so I think it's just like.
Yeah, it's just to make them look
more feminine, okay. Which that's like okay. The whole conversation, right? Like. Why do we want to look like why? What have we decided is feminine? How are we trying to achieve that with what we're doing?
Which leads to my next question. Oh, sorry, maybe you were.
Oh, no, go for it.
Yeah, I want to get back to the gender thing because mm-hmm. you talked about how you were very kind of in this like male identifying protective around it almost to yeah. where you kind of were against
insecure.
A little bit. Yeah, yeah.
Insecure,
and then you fell in love with drag, and so what has that taught you about your gender? What has moved? What has shifted? And obviously only share what you're comfortable sharing, but I mean, you talk on your own podcast and everything a lot, so.
I think drag has just been like the real life application of so many of the many gendered principles we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. So it's just been like doing it in the real world with my actual body just takes so much of the power and fear away from the stigma and the stereotypes. And so seeing myself in the mirror, like, just feels, you know, I just feel like an ease with it, like just a comfort level with it that I don't think I could ever have gotten to just in like conversation or like that's kind of my whole life. Actually, I'm a tactile learner. Like mm-hmm. I have to do the thing. I can't just listen to something and learn it or even see something done and learn it. I have to like copy and do.
Dabble.
Yeah. I'm a dabbler. And, I think just like the physicality of drag, like helped unlock something in me that was like, I don't need to be so afraid of my gender being perceived as anything other than cis, you know, male. And maybe I want it to be sometimes, you know, maybe I want my gender to be perceived a little differently sometimes, because those impulses that 3-year-old toddler Matthew was engaging in by, you know, playing with my mom's makeup or heels or whatever, like those weren't to do drag. I didn't know what drag was. Right. Those were just like innate inborn things.
Pure desire.
Yeah. Pure desire.
It's my favorite thing.
Mm.
Pure desire is my favorite.
Title of your sex tape.
Mm-hmm.
We accept.
Way to call me that.
No, all right. So then get us to that TikTok video. So you had, at that point, you'd been. What?
Yes.
We are following this timeline, folks.
I am helping the people, the four people out there that think like I do.
I love it.
So you've done a couple costume parties. Mm-hmm. Then had you done yet? Any drag for your Heathen Happy Hour? So, Matthew, your mm-hmm. your Matthew part of you, started a podcast a number of years ago called Heathen Podcast.
Yes.
And during quarantine, that evolved into, you know, a Thursday night live variety show where they do live music and do cover songs and Heathen Happy Hour is what it's called. So yeah. did you start dressing for drag for that?
I did. I think I used it as an excuse. And Karen and Ben, who are both here, can remind me. But I'm pretty sure, like, we just started theming our nights. It was the same thing that happened with y'all in this show. You know, it just kind of came organically because, well, we're all at home. Let's,
right. What else are we going
to
do?
Let's talk to people on the internet. But, yeah, we were like, well, we're three musicians who live together. And let's put together and we have this podcast. We have this platform already. So let's sing some heathen songs. But we started theming them. And then I'm sure that drag was my idea to theme. I don't really remember, but we did a night called alliteration is very important in the world of heathens. Sure. Heathen Happy Hour, Heathen Haberdashery, you know, all the Heathen Huddle. So we had to have alliterative themes every Thursday night. So we picked one that was drag, Disney, and at the time Dixie Chicks.
God, it was like 12 years
ago. That was back when it was Dixie Chicks.
Yeah, now they're just the Chicks. So the alliteration no longer works. But
you still made your shirts and you put Chicks on there.
We did, we changed it to the Chicks, yeah. But I think it was like kind of my way to like here's a place I can do drag, I'm gonna pick a theme and go with it. And actually Karen and Ben both did drag with me that night too, so that was really was that night or was that the birthday party?
I feel
party?
Like that was a birthday party. That was a couple sessions down the road, I believe.
I don't know. Ben, did you I think you Ben I have a memory of Ben wearing that purple
the
wig.
Was drag, yeah. Yeah, they did. And then we all did for your birthday.
Yeah, and then everybody did for the birthday.
Okay. I don't know. Right. Maybe I'm wrong.
But yeah, that was just like my natural outlet. It was the one thing I had in quarantine.
First time all of us were in drag.
Safety and numbers, yes. There you go. It says, I did drag. so it was just the natural outlet. And it gave me an opportunity to practice every week because we were doing our show weekly. Yep. You know, no one asked me to come and drag on Thursday nights. I just was like, I'm going to start doing this.
That's awesome.
And I don't know. The rest was just, I loved it.
The rest isn't history because then at some point you're like,
we're still getting to the video.
I'm going to now put this out in the world.
Yeah.
In combination with some thoughts I have about some of the deepest parts of what it means to be human and to be alive. So that wasn't your first TikTok video. You had
You
did the dabbling for a bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And but can you take us to the point? Do you remember when the idea for that video entered your mind? Like,
sure.
Okay.
Sure, I do. I wanted Flamey to be just like my little thing. And I didn't tell my husband that I had like saved the handles. You know, I reserved all the handles. Yeah. I didn't tell Chris for a couple months probably. Cause we were just goofing around one night after having watched a few episodes of Drag Race and we're like, what would our drag names be? And I was like, well, everybody always does like Tina Burner, you know, they take a name of an icon and play with it. And I was like, well, I know who my icon is. And Flamey just like came to mind and he laughed when I said it. So I was like, oh, maybe it's good. So I logged that away. And actually that night I went and I got the handles on Instagram and everything for it, but I kept it all secret and private. And I posted pictures. You can go back and see my first photos that I was posting in the privacy of our little bedroom at College Gardens that he didn't even know I was posting. Eventually I started to like, okay, I'm going to make the account public, let a few people know. Obviously I was going to your party. So some folks knew I was like dressing up. And, but the video was a direct result of you interfering in my life and making me making me preach, which that's a whole thing we can talk about too. It's just like the preaching thing. I love it. But no, you invited me to talk on a series at Sojourn Grace. It feels pretty recent.
Our Soul Care series.
It's been a little bit of a minute since then. The Soul Care series, and you just invited me to come talk about what I was learning through drag.
Because we had this series that was all about taking care of the soul. And Colby and I were like, we want to find...
Chris thought it was stupid at first, but now I can't imagine. But you laughed. That's the important thing.
You laughed.
For some people...
Stupid can get a good laugh.
That's right. We don't care if it's if you're laughing at us or with us. If it's laughter, we're in.
Totally down with a stupid laugh.
Okay, I want you to talk about this, but first I have to share why I asked you for that series. Because we had a series about soul care, and Colby and I were talking about how it would be great to have some guest speakers come who are really in the world of, like, doing something that is living out, taking care of your souls. And I just immediately thought of Flamie Grant, because to me, as someone who knew you so well before and watched that journey so closely, that is what it appears to be. Mm-hmm. It's like watching your soul come all the way alive is what it has felt like. Yeah. And watching you find wholeness, right? Like, that's the definition of wholeness, bringing every part of yourself into fullness. And that's what I've been watching you do. So I was like, Flamie has to talk about soul care, because that is soul care to like next level soul care.
I love that. Just the bringing the full being into wholeness, because it's like, well, to borrow from a transphobic author, but we still love her stories. It's the Horcrux thing, you know. It's like you split your soul so many times, like those, and you just become like a shell of yourself. But if there were a spell to like put Horcruxes back together into the full being, like that's
what we could make Voldemort whole.
Yes, we can make Voldemort whole.
Yep,
we could save Voldemort. It's doing drag for me. It's doing drag. Like that's how my Horcrux came back to life.
Yes, because people often think that, like, the antonym to wholeness is broken. And so they think they can't find wholeness because they're like, I'm so broken. And what I beg people to understand is that the opposite of wholeness is not broken. Mm. We are all shattered to a million pieces. The opposite of wholeness is emptiness or missing or longing, like something that's not there. So wholeness is just bringing everything, including brokenness. Mm. So then our brokenness becomes part of our wholeness. Like, we are whole when we bring that brokenness right in and love it well. And that's what I've seen you do with Flamie and your story of brokenness around gender and sexuality. Mm. It's like, that brokenness didn't go anywhere. Actually, it went like, it went to TikTok, right?
It went to TikTok. Great connection. Good way to bring us back.
Bringing it back.
I made the TikTok because you asked me to speak in drag about what drag was doing for my soul. And I didn't know what that was going to look like, because Flamie was a bedroom queen. She was a little bit on Heathen Happy Hour queen, but I hadn't fleshed any of that out. And anybody who's ever heard me talk on anything before knows that I am an external processor and I don't even know what I'm thinking until I say it out loud. So I had, again, the tactile learning. I needed to just talk it through. And I had the TikTok account, and I had seen plenty of videos where people talk their way through a transformation, like you saw at the beginning. And so I thought, I'll do something with that. And I did. And that was just practice for the sermon I was going to give in a few weeks. And then it took off, I guess.
It took off.
And then now you're a polygendered preacher.
It took off. What was that taking off process like?
I woke up the next morning. My sister had texted me a bazillion times, because my sister is a TikTok queen, total queen. Yeah. Like, go follow Amy Overthinks on TikTok if you want a phenomenal follow. She's fantastic. And she was freaking out because it had, started to go viral. I guess that's what you'd call it. It was over the next 2 days. I kind of watched it go from just, you know, nothing to, I think it hit like 500,000 within a couple days. Wow. It's just kind of,
I had random people texting me saying,
really?
Oh my God, my long lost friend who I went to school with in middle school texted me about this person on TikTok that I had to see. And then when I went to see them, I realized, wait, that's Kate's friend. It's just so random.
It is random. It's weird. So I had, people coming out of the woodwork of my past too, being like, I haven't thought about you in years, but I saw you turn into a woman on TikTok. I was like, yeah, surprise.
Take me through the, if you can remember what the emotional experience was like watching the view counts climb, watching the follows on your profile climb. Are you feeling good? Are you feeling anxious? Remember what you're feeling?
I think I felt a little bit of both of those things. And most, like, I remember the overwhelming feeling was just kind of one of solidarity, like feeling so not alone, because the overwhelming comment was, oh my gosh, I feel seen.
That's right.
Yeah. Like,
you had a few haters, but they were 5%?
Truly, no, less. Literally less. Haters. Like, less. Truly less than 5% haters. Like, it was almost.
Yeah, it didn't go viral because people were freaking out in, like, a controversial way. It went viral because so many people connect to your exact message.
Yeah, I think just that idea of you can have a second act, you're not done yet, and it can be something, like, super radically, like, life transformationally crazy, as, you know, watching someone go from male to female in the course of 60 seconds. Like, I think that just, like, paired with that, it was just, I don't know, it shook something for people. And, like, I have this thing that I want to do, and I've always felt held back by whatever, you know, mostly, like, society, social, religious, cultural things that tell us we have to be a certain way. And so I think that my overwhelming feeling was just like, oh, okay, like, yeah, we're all out here. And we all have a dream that we, like, didn't even know it was a dream. Like, we had to discover that piece first. And, but yeah, there was anxiety because I was, again, like, I had kept Flamey pretty much for just myself. Yeah. And, you know, I had distant, like, dreams of, like, well, maybe one day I'll be, like, able to perform as Flamey, like, in the real world and in real life. But I wasn't ready for that yet.
I wondered that, if this felt a little premature. Like,
it felt super premature.
I want you all to know about Flamey, but I wasn't ready quite yet.
I'm still, like, you know, like, buying all the cheapest versions of everything, like, just getting, like, still not even knowing how to dress my body. Like I was just, I'm so not ready to, like, take her. But that's also been, like, the fun part of TikTok. It's like, you know, half of it now is just people asking questions about how'd you learn how to do this piece or that piece or whatever.
Oh, cool. So you getting to mother some potential
maybe
dragons down the road?
Yeah.
Are they called dragons?
Mothering dragons.
Please tell me that's what it's called.
Colby really wanted a mother of dragons moment is what just happened. Just
pulled it out. Good job.
I don't watch the show, but I know that that's his obsession.
Khaleesi and Maceo.
Also, another reason why you go viral is because you're a goddamn poet. Like, you've always been a songwriter, and your songwriting just transferred from writing songs to writing TikTok messages or, like, everything you write comes out so poetically and just... Slays.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You don't just say the thing. Like, I would get on there and be like, so we were told a long time ago that we shouldn't be who we really are, but now we can be who we are. And you're like...
You don't think that would connect with people?
No, I don't. But everything you say has this rhythmic, beautiful Thomas Kincaid is thrown into the...
So glad that T-Kinks made a guest appearance. So
that good. That was the second most common comment was, not Thomas Kincaid!
Say it ain't so. Yeah.
Say it.
Oh, it's so.
Yeah,
it's so.
It's been said.
Mm-hmm. So. I remember talking to you, like, a week after it was out, and you felt what seemed to me very naturally this pressure to now keep it up. Mm. And that, for me, as an Enneagram type 3, I live in that state of being. And there's a type of exhaustion to that I have acclimated to. I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying I'm used to it. I'm used to that. Life. Just keep it up, keep it going, keep it better, keep it improving. Mm-hmm. I can imagine for someone who's not used to that rhythm, that was a bit like, holy crap, I have now 500,000 people watching this. I have tens of thousands of people that are following me. Mm-hmm. I can't just be a one and done. I think I got to make some more. What was that experience like?
I think real quickly my head went there, and I think there's even a couple of videos where you can tell.
You can see,
like,
I'm trying
to, like, find the formula that worked in the first video.
Yeah.
And you know,
that's everything.
Right. Yeah. Totally. It totally is. Fortunately, I think because I have enough good friends who are threes, shout out, you know who you are, Karen. And I've read enough Liz Gilbert to know that, like, trying to be the thing is not like, don't try to be the thing that you want or that you think that people want from you. And I don't know. I just, I do not churn them out. Like, they come to me when they come to me now. Like, I don't, my TikTok feed is only probably 20% that kind of video. Yeah. For the most part, I'm just like being an idiot, like doing lip syncs and like, great. Yeah. And I love it. Like, that's what I wanted to do with Flamey, you know, it's just have fun. But then, yeah, every once in a while, it tends to have to be prompted by something for me again. External processor, like I need something to happen to me for me to like want to talk about it. So it's always brought up by something that happens in my life, or you know, my housemates can probably point to each video and be like, oh yeah, this is what when, this is what happened to prompt this video. Like I'm trying to think if there's one really specifically. Oh, the one I oh hello, it was it was your YouTube conversation with,
oh god,
yeah, which we don't need to fully revisit, but hanging out in the comments of a YouTube the section when you were trying to do like the, we're gonna have a conversation with a progressive Christian and a fundamentalist Christian, I don't know how that person identified, but the YouTube comments were probably vicious and horrifying,
vile.
It was terrible, and it prompted a whole video that one got quite a few views actually too. So yeah, you know, thanks, hateful evangelicals, for giving me some fodder that,
hey man,
gets me views.
They're worth something. They're worth a lot. They're love children of God. I apologize. Go ahead.
Have there been any questions over there? I have a question, but I don't want to skip past the people. I think they've just been with us. And yeah. I haven't seen any questions. Yeah. But my question is, when you are not in Flamey drag and you're just now hanging out, you know, not in drag, what has anything shifted in that experience then? What does that feel like now to be in your body when you're not in drag? Like, mm-hmm. does that now feel different or even look different mm-hmm. than pre-Matthew? Because it's not like you're in drag all the time. Yeah. So your non-drag self, has that changed mm-hmm. since you started doing drag, and what ways?
Yeah, it sure has. I think especially initially I started wearing makeup every day, and I just got really excited about being able to do a different eye every day, like go to work, different eye, different color, buy all the palettes, make sure I have every color possible. I think that was the initial burst of just excitement about yeah. and the liberation and the freedom of feeling like I can do that and walk around in the world. Cause I don't do that every day anymore by any means. And I don't know if that to chalk that up more to like having been in quarantine and just like being at home, not really
what is life
what is life, or if it's just been kind of a more natural, but I still do love to like look like elevate my look a little bit, you know, when I'm going out. When I started going back to work last week, I think last week was my first week back in the office, like my first inclination was to wake up and like make sure I had a fun little pop of color on my eye. So yeah, there's like, there are ways that I want to walk around in the world a little differently. Just things that make me happy. Like that's all it is. The pure desire thing. It's just like, I don't want to just wear my standard, like button up collared shirt to work with slacks. Like I want to find some ways to feel more like myself, more just happier. So, you know, I think that part of it has been really slow still to unfurl, but I am like slowly finding pieces. Like you did a whole thing where you just like ditched your closet, right? And you're like, I'm going to replace it. I've been doing it piece by piece. Yeah. Like, yeah. You know, like here's a fun pair of pants that like are totally non-traditional for a man to wear, but I'm going to wear them.
Just kind of throw it in there with all the other stuff mm-hmm. too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that though. I love the eclectic look that you've had lately, but all of that is your look, which I love that. But how
yeah,
is it like
presentation? Yeah,
yeah. How has it felt in your body and like set in your soul? And yeah, how has the gender piece sat with you in those moments that you're not Flamey?
Yeah. Well, so I decided to adopt that like moniker, the identifier polygender, after hearing it, you know, because I was kind of poking around into all of the different, there's a, you know, litany of ways people identify when it comes to their gender nowadays. And I none of them really, like, just felt, nothing felt good until I hit that word. And I liked polygendered because I liked the idea of just multiple, the idea of many, being one. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't have to pick, right? Yeah. I'm just going to be all the things and let it be fluid that way. Which I guess gender fluid is a great word. And gender freedom is, I think, the best word. That's my favorite one. I just love gender free. If we can just abolish the notion that anything is tied exclusively to one of the sexes, one of the many sexes, then, like, we could just be doing a lot better, I think. I love that. But, how it feels.
I know, I'm
there's
pushing you.
There's still, like, anxiety with it, mm-hmm. you know? Like, because the world is still not, you know, gender-free isn't the baseline. We are very much still a gendered world. So there's still anxiety and a little bit of fear, I think, anytime. I'm less fearful when I go out like this because, like, this feels like a very clear, like, there's a performance associated with, with how I look right now, right? Like, it's exaggerated to the extreme. Yeah, but when I'm fucking with gender, when it's gender fuckery, then it's just like, you know, that's where it tends to.
So basically when, like, Matthew's walking around in, like, normal male identifying shorts and t-shirt, but has eyeshadow on, that feels less safe and more of a stretch and uncomfortable than the full on drag.
Yeah, actually.
That actually makes a shit ton of sense.
Yeah, it kind of does.
I mean, you said it perfectly, when I'm fucking with gender. It's like, we've come to accept this, actually.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
That is interesting.
But what you do on other days is still pushing us, stretching us.
Do you wish you would have come to this point in your life that you're at now earlier? Or do you see your trajectory as it needed to go through the paths it went through to get here?
Well, okay, so my initial reaction is, hell no, it didn't need it. Like, I didn't need to go through, like, 3 decades of trauma to get to where I am. Like, that, like, I should have been permitted. I should have been invited and allowed and to exist as I was, right, from the beginning. So a big part of me is like, yeah, I wish this came earlier. I mean, of course I do, because I wish that I never had to feel the othering and the feeling ostracized and feeling uncomfortable in my own body and, like, not knowing who I am or why I feel the way I feel and just not being, like, I wish I had been able to ask all of the questions I've been asking over the past 2 years when I was, you know, 16 or whatever, whenever those things were first really bubbling up. And then the reality of my life is that I did live through all of that othering and all of that kind of suppressing so many parts and creating horcruxes of myself. So, yeah, I needed all of this time to figure things out for myself. Haley, one of my other adventures is being in a hip hop duo called Girl Boy, gender fuckery started back there too, mm-hmm, didn't it? Mm-hmm.
Some early dabbling.
Yes, early dabbling. But we called Haley and I called our first album Late Bloomers because we found each other later in life than a lot of, like, you know, people doing music typically, you know, come out with their first records. And we both had, like, similar shared experiences where we were just felt behind the curve when it came to dating and relationships and things like that. So, like, Late Bloomers felt like a good name for our band, for our first album. And, like, ever since we called our album Late Bloomers, I've just, every part of my life, I'm like, that just applies to everything for me. I'm so late to bloom in all of these areas. And I needed the time to process, yeah, huge amounts of family trauma, parental stuff. Certainly the religious trauma.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I resonate so much. I feel like being a late bloomer is just par for the course for being raised fundamentalist. Like,
yeah.
You're going to be late to discovering so many things and developing so many things. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a developmental delay that happens in all of us from being raised that way.
Absolutely. Which is why I think the second act thing resonated with people so much, because it's like we sometimes we just need to hear the permission, you know, or the not always permission, but just like to see someone else who's struggling in the same way and be like, oh, like I'm not such an aberration apart, you know, this is actually very normal for me to feel so behind the curve when I'm watching, especially when you get out of your evangelical bubble or your fundamentalist faith bubble, whatever it is that kind of made those impressions on you, and you enter the world and you see so many people thriving in ways that you haven't been able to yet. And, you know, you can tell yourself like all day long that, oh, you know, they have their own struggles and they have, you know, but at the end of the day, you look at people and they're like, but you don't have these struggles. Like, yes. You don't have
the
body hangups, and you don't have the sex hangups, and you don't have like rapture phobia, and you don't have, you know, phobia. Like,
what's that like to move about on the earth in your body and not be terrified that the rapture is gonna destroy everything?
Yeah.
I don't know. What's that like? I have one more question about drag before we do lightning round.
Excellent.
Are you good with that?
Perfect.
Okay. It's kind of a big question, and I recognize that I often do this thing. I think it's an Enneagram 4 thing where I say something, to me it's just a casual question, and then people are like, oh my god, I don't know how to answer that, it's so big.
Cutting
so I it. Just, I need to give the disclaimer ahead of time. But my question is basically, what is the future of drag? But I want to explain what I mean by that, which is that to me, and you correct me all you need to, because I don't know everything. But to me, drag exists because of our trauma and our wounds. It is a wounds-centered, trauma-centered thing. It is actual trauma healing is what it is, which is why I love it so much. I love it for you. I love it for the world. It is a practice in healing trauma. But as folks stop being traumatized, which hopefully we're moving toward, then what happens to this gorgeous trauma healing practice?
Oh. Like,
yeah. Does drag cease being, like, gender fuckery once we've fucked with it enough to where it's just been fucked?
Once gender gets fucked.
Then what? Like, do you ever think about that? And, like, have your mind just kind of spin out on, like, then what happens? Because drag as it is, as it exists, only can be what it is because of all of the trauma and the wounding. And if we move out of that and heal in our world and become many gendered people, how does drag shift? Because it won't go away, but it feels to me like it might be, I don't know.
Like it might just not be, it might not resonate in the same, on the same frequencies because we're not embodying trauma. We're just embodying like a gender idea.
Well, if we don't even have the gender idea anymore.
Right.
Then so it's just like, a bunch of people dressing the way they dress.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It ceases to become a show. That part of what drag is it's like, whoa, that's so cool. But if we've done our work that is necessary to normalize, like I think about, you know, earlier you walking around my house getting ready and my kids bumping into you. And one of my kids was like, I don't know who, because one of my kids lives in his bedroom in a cave and isn't on the internet. My kids don't have social media at all. And so one of my kids said, I don't know who Flamey Grant is. And I was like, oh, it's Matthew Stragg. And he was like, oh, yeah, and he just kept making his pizza. And and Jay, pizza. You know, walked in the kitchen, hey, how are you? And everybody just, like, had this very, like, fluid response to Flamey walking through the house. And even that interaction of I don't know who Flamey is just felt very... Like, then I tell him, and then he moves on with his day, and like that's that. And so all of us who have kids like that, who are growing up with that so normalized, I just...
Yeah.
I guess I'm asking you, what's the future of gender?
pressure. Right.
No pressure.
Right. No pressure. What is the future
of
gender?
Once we fuck with it enough, what does it do?
Yeah, because I would make the distinction. I would, because gender and drag, I do feel like are... Drag happens to be the way that I encountered a lot of my gender stuff and started asking questions for myself. I do not think that drag, in its essence, has to come from... This is tough. It's really tough because, I mean, it's a form of protest, for sure. Like, at its most basic, like, at the root of it, it is, like, I'm going to fuck with, give the middle finger to gender because there's not space in the world for people who not even look like me, because I feel like drag so much of the time is the extreme, like, intentionally extreme version obviously it is, you know, like I'm going to pretty great lengths to transform myself into something that's not like, I'm not trying to pass as female, like that's not the goal here. The goal is to like force a reckoning, force an awakening, or at least recognize that, okay, like that human is doing something different. Like for people who, you know, either, well, for anybody, for the people who have no personal inclination to fuck with their own gender at all, but need to know that there are folks in the world who do need to do that and need to know that they can be part of making the world better for all of us. Gender freedom for everybody just means that you as well, like cis straight person, like you, whether you know it or not, you feel the pressures of society telling you how to present yourself in the world. Like, we're all doing drag all the freaking time. Like, all the freaking time. I was a straight man for a very long time. And I mean, I feel like I was a straight man because I embodied it in every way I possibly could. I studied it. I watched other people around me to make sure that I could, you know, pass. to a degree, I feel like I can say, like, I know what it's like to be straight in the world. Like, for sure. Yeah. For sure. I know what those pressures feel like because I really tried to, you know, I tried to live up to that standard. So, I don't know. I feel like the future of gender still has a super long way to go. I don't think we're going to be, like, worried about, like, I hope we're not worried about the art of drag going anywhere, because I've barely started to make money with this and I've spent a lot of money on it so far.
Yes. I need drag clubs
to be open for a while. No,
I'm not trying to wipe out drag or think that it's going away. I'm totally more just joking. Like, for me, every time I talk about gender, my mind does this crazy, like, wait, but if there's, and then I just spin out. And like,
well, the great thing,
if we do our work, what happens?
Yeah. The great thing about today, being alive today, is that there are drag queens who are super young and coming out and have, like, especially if you do watch Drag Race, you can, you know, you see it, especially nowadays with some of the younger queens who are like, yeah, my family loves it. They totally accepted me. It's been great. And you watch those people do their drag and it is performance art. It, like, they're literally doing it because they love it. Mm-hmm. And they love to make something that looks beautiful and catches the eye, whether it's the dance, whether it's the costuming, the makeup. It's like, I'm just doing this for the passion. And so in that way, I feel like drag won't go anywhere because art won't go anywhere.
Art, yep.
And I don't know.
And then we just won't have all the baggage with it. Like, we'll keep doing the art of it, but the trauma healing part of it won't be.
Yeah.
Part of it.
Art is always a way to heal from trauma regardless. True. So like, so even if it's not like specifically gender trauma that we're.
Yeah. We'll be traumatized.
We're working out. We'll find trauma to work.
Yeah. Yeah. Part of what's happening is that I'm an idealist, and so I'm like, well, someday we just won't have trauma anymore.
Yeah. I mean, really gay. That's actually a good question. If we don't, like, would art exist? I don't know.
See, this is part what happens two. To my... Welcome to my brain is what I am
it
saying.
It would exist. It would just be crappy.
It would just be irrelevant and, like, uninformative and useless.
Yeah. Entirely uninteresting.
Yeah, that's what Pink says. That's why her album, Beautiful Trauma. But yeah, that's what she says all the time. Without my trauma, without my sadness, my art would suck.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of sucky art, should we go to Lightning Run?
Yes, I need my control center.
We've got a little scene here that'll allow you to use your buttons.
Yay, now my buttons work. I'm going to push them. Hey, Flamey, what's your favorite movie of all time?
Easy peasy. I just watched it with Ben Grace. Ben, you want to tell him what it was? Ooh, It'll take 20 seconds.
How was it? How was it, Ben?
It's October Sky.
Yeah,
The question came up at Sojo last week, and so Ben thought I was referring to, I said October Sky, and he's like, oh, that movie with Tom Cruise in the future or whatever? It's like, no, that's Vanilla Sky. Very different film. I'm going to make you watch October Sky. So we sat down and we watched it this
week. Did he say if he liked it or not?
I didn't ask because I was crying at the end. So it makes me, I lose my shit at that movie every time. Father Wounds.
Maybe we should.
Yeah, those aren't going away anytime
soon. Yeah, Father Wounds are not going away.
Fathers ain't ever going to get
this figured out. What if we have no Father Wounds anymore? Then what will we be like? Sorry. Welcome to my brain.
Celebrate that.
Fill in the blank. Self-care is
fundamental.
Nice. That came out of your mouth really fast.
Because
great.
Only because anybody who watches Drag Race will know why that came out very fast.
That's a thing?
Yeah, that is. But it is fundamental.
Yes, absolutely.
Self-care is fundamental. It's like basics. 100. We should be learning it in kindergarten.
What is it, though?
It's different for everybody, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, drag truly is self-care for me. Like, it feels like meditation. I feel the same way when I'm putting my face on over the course of an hour that I do if I go meditate for 15 minutes. Like, I kind of wake up from both. Cool. So, yeah. Fundamental.
What is something you're deeply grateful for? Right.
My husband.
Aww. Shout out. Happy birthday, Chris.
Yeah, happy birthday,
Christopher. Yeah, happy birthday. It was his birthday yesterday. And
also 29?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Forever. 29 forever.
Forever young. No, it's just we've gotten so much good time together during the pandemic that we didn't have in our relationship before. And now that time's being chipped away at because we're both going back to work and we work opposite schedules, I'm like, oh.
I actually miss him.
I want more. Mm-hmm. I actually miss him.
What's that like? I haven't had an opportunity.
To miss me?
Yeah.
So you become a bartender, start taking your cocktails on the road, and then you find, you know, a day job. You can come work with me at the Globe, and then you'll know.
Do you think you'd miss me? Don't answer that question. Move on.
Yes, I'm desperate to miss you.
I'm desperate to miss you. It's one of the nicest things you've ever said to me.
What's your weirdest fear?
Weirdest fear. I mean, spiders are like the thing that came to mind, but that's not weird. I feel like a lot of people are afraid of spiders. I used to be terrified.
People always verbalize the first normal thing and then they get to the weird one.
I used to be absolutely paralyzed. I called them the Willy Men. They're those things that
we had a name for them because they don't have names.
I don't know. Maybe they have a name. They're the things that are they put up usually in front of like car sales lots and stuff like that. And it's just a piece of fabric. It's like a tube, but it has like arms.
Blows.
And they blow air up in it. And they go.
Scared you?
Yeah. They move so unnaturally. Like they don't like.
Weird.
It's like a humanoid representation, but it moves the way humanoids cannot move. And so it freaks me out.
The Willy Men.
I mean, I'm fine with them now. I can. Like,
that is weird. This was totally 2 years ago.
Yeah. Walk past them on the street.
You guys, that was so last year. Okay. I think I know the answer to this, but who's a famous person you swear you'd be besties with if you knew each other?
Whose hair did I model this after? Come on. Amy Grant. We would be the best besties. But also, secondarily, Tina Fey. Like, I just feel like we would.
You actually would be besties.
We would hit it off.
Has there been any connection with Amy Grant yet as it relates to Flamey?
Nothing direct. Like, I know that, like, people in her circle have, like, commented on my stuff and been like, oh, I'm sending this to her manager. Yeah, there's a whole Gay Friends of Amy Grant Facebook group. I see y'all, if any of you are watching, that I love. And so people in there have been like, oh, yeah, like, we've sent your video to so-and-so or whatever. But I don't know. Nothing confirmed yet.
All right.
Fingers crossed.
What's a book everyone should read?
Oh, which reminds me, I was going to ask you, I talked about The Starless Sea at Sojo. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. I totally don't remember that. You'll have to remind me later what
it
that was.
It was when we did our interview together about Joy.
Oh, yeah.
It made Jesse Million read it, and then the whole Million family read it. They're all obsessed, and then...
And it's just made its way around.
It's made its way around.
Yeah, it's a rich, gorgeous narrative. A book everyone should read? I'm going to go with... Oh, I can't remember what it's called. I'll go with the second one that comes to mind then.
I really want to know that first one, though. Let me figure it out. I
have to look it up.
Okay.
The second one that comes to mind is a book called Vows, The Story of a Priest, a Nun, and Their Son. By
really?
Yeah. What a title.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, immediately you're like, Okay, I want to know the story. Like, Tell me. It's a memoir of their son wrote this person, Peter Manceau, I think is the author's name, wrote his memoir of, it's not even a memoir, it's more of a biography of his parents and their story and how they met. Because They were a priest and a nun, and now he's in the world.
And he exists.
Yeah, so and he exists. Yeah.
Obviously some things happened.
It's a really gorgeous story. I wept a lot. It was actually I came out over the course of a decade, but during a period of my coming out when
one
I was like...
One part of your...
Yeah, one part of it, and it spoke to me. It had nothing to do with being queer, but I resonated a lot. It's a good book.
Beautiful. Cool. What's sustaining your soul right now? This is how we wrap up every week.
Yeah, rap.
I like that.
What's keeping you going?
Honestly, it's like planning for the future is what's sustaining my... I know that's like duh, like, but it is. It's like...
Not duh.
It's not duh.
No? Okay, good. Great. It's like looking at the future and what do I want my drag to do? What do I want to do with music? It's making those... It's dreaming. It's having dreams. Because right now I'm really... really dissatisfied with like the whole day job situation and only being able to do this stuff when I'm not on the clock. And I really want to be in a place where I'm not on the clock. The clock I'm on is my own kind of thing. So I'm just dreaming about the day that.
That feels sustaining to you. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes that kind of what you just described can be the opposite, be draining or anxiety producing or.
Yeah.
Yeah. That feels like
some of those things.
Yeah.
But no, it's the vision of a day when like Flamey has a gig and it makes me some money and I can pay some rent. And then, you know, the next day I play some music with Ben and Karen and, you know, and then Heathen like has a special episode. Like it's that like putting that life together is what's
the life of a creator.
Yeah.
I love it. Beautiful.
Beauts.
I almost hit the end button, but that would that have ended our whole broadcast?
Sure, what a...
Oh, my.
Do you know how close I was to hitting that button just now? I thought, ooh, maybe this ends the lightning round.
It would have certainly ended the lightning round. Well, Flamey, this has been an absolute delight. Thank you so much for joining us in studio as our first in-studio guest. Thank you for sharing of yourself with our crew that watches the live and then the much larger crew that listens later as a podcast. What up, Pod Fam? And then watches back on the YouTubes and the Facebooks.
Yeah.
People, you've seen her handle down there for the whole show. So you know to go find her on the TikToks and the IGs.
Yeah.
But I'm just really proud of you.
Thank you.
I'm really proud of you.
Thanks so much for having me. And thanks for doing this. Like, I mean, I saw some of the comments when you started and there are people who are still like, no, this is still a lifeline for me and I need this kind of conversation and this kind of thing in my life. So it's important stuff. It's hard sometimes. It doesn't always feel like worth all the trouble, but it is.
Aww,
thank you for doing it.
I love it.
Thanks for letting me do
that. Also, Karen just said that if I would have hit that button, they would have thought it was the rapture.
That's funny. Stay right there as we just tell you what is coming down the pike. We've got some pretty fantastic guests coming up as we get back into our weekly rhythm here at the Kate and Colby Show. So next week, we've got Susan Cottrell.
Yay. Susan, one of my mamas.
Is the founder of Freed Hearts. And her TED Talk video, which is titled, I think I chose my daughter over the church or something like that. Mm-hmm. viewed many millions of times, I believe. She'll be here next week. 2 weeks from now, we've got the Reverend Jen Butler, who's the CEO of Public Faith and Life. Some version of that. It's this activist network that does really incredible work of, in many ways, trying to like remind the public, like, people of faith aren't awful all the time. Like, there's a contingent of people of faith that are advocating.
They're just the loudest and get the most that's right. news.
So she's an amazing human that I can't wait to meet. We actually get to meet her for the first time. And then Austin Hartke wrote a book called Transforming about sort of his experience with being transgender, but also looking at the Bible and how it is not anti-trans. In many ways, like Unclobber was for LGB community, Austin is for the T.
I love that. You got to meet Austin a few weeks ago, and I'll get to meet him for the first time.
Yeah. Totally looking forward to, and we've got even more guests for that. You can go follow us at Kate and Colby on Instagram to get all of our lineup coming up. But everybody, it's really good to be back with you. We're so glad that you joined us again tonight. Thanks for taking the month of June off with us. And we'll see you next week. Yeah?
Now can I rapture
us? Now you can hit the end button!
If you enjoy the Kate and Colby Show, here are a few ways that you can support us. Subscribe to our podcast feed on whatever platform you use, and when you do, go ahead and leave us a review or rating. This will help others discover our show. Find and follow us on social media using the handle @KateandColby. And speaking of social media, we'd love it if you share our show with your friends. Everyone is looking for a great podcast recommendation, so help them and us out. Finally, if you visit us at kateandcolby.com, you can subscribe to our newsletter, learn more about us, the hosts, and discover great resources for coming more alive. The Kate and Colby Show is recorded in San Diego and produced by Holy Living Studios. Thank you for your love and support. We do this show for you, our pod fam. Until next time, be well.